Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to welcome you to a special on-location and big fight preview edition of War Week Radio, the Sweet Science, with elite level trainer, Mr. James Gogi, as well as Hall of Fame matchmaker and promoter, the great Mr. Don Warwick Chargan. But there's been a slight change in schedule, guys. Because of scheduling and because of prior commitments, Don Chargan will be moved to the 30-minute mark, and we're going to kick things off with our very good friend, three-decade fight trainer, Mr. James Gogi. But before we introduce the star of the program, we do have to remind everyone that the show is brought to you by Affordable Dentures, 240 locations nationwide. For more information, please visit the show's sponsor at affordabledentures.com. But, ladies and gentlemen, this would not be a big fight preview without our three-decade fight trainer and resident master strategist, the one and only Mr. James Gogi. James, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great, Joe. I'm doing great. We're going to have a good show tonight.
Well, thank you for joining us and being a part of this special, well, big fight preview featuring Miguel Cotto versus Saul Canelo Alvarez. And let me tell you, Gogi, this is a big fight, or is it? I know to all of the diehard fight fans, this is a massive fight, one that they've been, well, banging the drum for several years. But, Gogi, how do you think it's going to do on Saturday night? How do you think the numbers are going to be on HBO pay-per-view? Before we start breaking down these individual matchups on the pay-per-view fight card, how do you think this is going to perform? If you had to give an initial projection, what would it be, James?
Hey, Joe, I don't feel the buzz. Like, the Holly Holmes, Ronda Rousey fight, that's a fight everybody was talking about all over the world. They're not talking about this fight. I don't feel the buzz for it, you know, because of the fact Floyd Mayweather, Don Chargan, he told me, 2 weeks before the Mayweather fight, he goes, James, if this fight's a dud, it's going to hurt the pay-per-view market in boxing for years to come. Well, guess what? I always kept that in my mind, and the next two pay-per-view fights right after that Pacquiao Mayweather fiasco, but Floyd's next fight, 400,000, 500,000. Golovkin, 150,000. I mean, golly. And this fight, Joe, both guys don't create that buzz because they're not American, you know what I mean? Even though it's that Mexican-Puerto Rican rivalry, Ronda Rousey against Holly Holmes, you know, you had women, guys, teenagers, everybody tuning into that one. That's a fight they wanted to see. It was on mainstream everywhere, Joe. Mainstream, you know, not only ESPN, Fox, but it was on, you know, Good Morning America and all these other main TMZ and all the other mainstream talk shows. You don't see that with Canelo Cotto. You know, just today I saw Holly Holmes on Good Morning America. I mean, Cotto and Canelo that wish they were on Good Morning America, you know, to promote this fight.
Wow. Yeah, you know, and well, here's one thing that's bad for the promotion. One, it was just this past Saturday night. Two, it was only $50 in SD, $60 in HD. Canelo versus Cotto is being tagged as $60 in SD, $70 in HD. Right?
Yeah.
And I tell you what, all of our listeners, and I know most of our listeners, and we always encourage everyone to support live boxing, especially these big events that are so important for the health of the sport. We always encourage everyone to purchase these things. But, guys, I will be calling on behalf of War Week Radio. We will be doing a live broadcast of the co-main event between Takashi Mira and Francisco Vargas, as well as the main event of the evening, Miguel Cotto versus Canelo Alvarez. Yours truly will be calling the action as it plays out from the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, Nevada. How do you like that, Gogi?
Oh, that's great, Joe. People around the world that are really, you know, especially the people in Europe or the people over there in Asia, Philippines, you know, wherever, you know, they can't afford or can't afford to get the pay-per-view or can't see it on TV. Well, hey, they can listen to you on the internet, you know, go play-by-play, just like the old days. Like, what was it, Don Dumphy? Is that who you used to be watching in the old
days?
You
know what, man? Dude, I don't deserve to be put in that category, brother. Don Dumphy, man, was a master. But, yeah, thank you. Thank you for the compliment, Gogi. I tell you what, man, that it's going to be so much fun, guys. And we want to encourage everyone to, once again, purchase the pay-per-view. But if you don't have the money or just want to listen to some fair and unbiased commentary, well, just sync up the live streaming radio broadcast up to your stereo while the fight is playing out, and you can hear how I call the action unbiased without a dog in the hunt. So that's going to go down, guys, this Saturday evening. Broadcast is going to start, I guess, around 10 p.m. Eastern, I guess. So that's it. So I tell you what, Gogi, but before we actually jump to the Canelo Cotto official breakdown, since you're actually on the Rousey versus Holm topic, right? Hey, guys, we tried to tell you last week, right, before the fight. I told you what I saw from Ronda Rousey's footwork, how atrocious it was, and how she was going to have a lot of problems cutting off the ring because she looked so bad against Victor Chinian. She was abysmal. Her footwork, she looked like a novice. I mean, I know some amateurs who could probably kick her ass in terms of boxing and had better footwork than she. And, well, lo and behold, Holly Holm took her to school. Gogi, did this surprise you at all, brother? Because it sure shocked the hell out of a lot of people. But after watching that video, yeah, I wasn't surprised one bit, man.
You know what, Joe? I never did, you know, I was, you know, hearing the hype to this, but I really never got down to, you know, the nitty-gritty like I usually do on this show and analyze everything. Because, you know, I don't know much about MMA, but, you know, I was like everybody else. They, Ronda, you know, she was just, you know, steamrolling through everybody. I thought Holly Holm was just going to be another victim. But, when you know, when I saw the fight, you know, when I saw it on YouTube, you know, I was surprised how easy Holly dominated Ronda Rousey. Oh, just embarrassed her. Oh, humiliated her.
And it's amazing. It's amazing, James, because the fallout, boy, if she were on the Dow Jones, it would have plummeted to the point of bankruptcy, brother. Because she, yeah, her stock has just plummeted, where it's really painted her in a much different light before this fight, for this big pay-per-view event. She's, you know, she was beating her chest, and Dana White was really touting her, as well as Joe Rogan, that she was the best fighter on the planet in any combat sport, right? There was even talk of her facing Floyd Mayweather, Gogi. Right? How absurd does that seem right now? Because, dude, you look at how she's handling her loss, it makes it even worse. She's making Adrian Broner look like a humble prince, brother. So I'm asking you, just as an athlete, just as an entertainer, can she actually overcome this negative scrutiny and how bad she's making her look? Can she bounce back from this? Oh, also, the ass whooping she took from the hands or the foot of Holly Holm on Saturday.
Oh, she's still got that foot mark implanted on the side of her head, I think, Joe. I think that's why she was hiding her face when she was going through the L.A. airport today, and everybody was trying to take a look at you know, get a picture of her. You know, she probably still had that implant of Holly's left foot in the side of her face. So, yeah, you know, to come back for something like this, Joe, is like boxing. Sometimes devastating losses like this, you're never the same, you know. And the way she's taking it, you know what I mean? Hey, you know, if you know, you got to take the good and the bad. You know, you got to be a professional. When you're winning, oh yeah, you're on top of the world, and you're sticking your chest out there, and you're telling everybody, you know, how bad you are. But when you lose and you get humiliated like that, hey, you still got to be professional, and you know what I mean? And you know, talk to the media and everything. And her, God, oh man, she's been. This victory was a humbling experience, Joe, because this girl was getting real, real cocky. She thought she was better. She was reading her headlines and all the newspaper clippings and all the YouTube videos. She thought, you know, she was bigger than what she is. And oh, yeah, God always has a way of humbling yourself. If you don't want to humble yourself, God always has a way of humbling you in this business.
Well, and that is the gospel truth, the gospel according to James. Let me tell you, brother. Yeah, I mean, truer words were never spoken. And, you know, not only is this a humbling experience for her, it seems to be a traumatic experience for her. You know,
yeah.
Because she, unfortunately, hasn't been humble even in loss. And it's funny, she didn't even want to congratulate Holly. Before the fight, she didn't even want to touch gloves. And so I tell you what, I was laughing, and I know I shouldn't do this because, boy, taking a beating in the ring, in any combat sport, is brutal, vicious, is no laughing matter. But God forgive me, I was laughing my ass off when I saw that. And it's funny, it's like, you know, what was she thinking? And what was Dana White thinking making this matchup, right? Because I'm thinking, you know, this whole time I'm looking at Ronda's abysmal footwork, right, in the ring with Vic Darchini, and I'm like, okay, if she can't even catch up to Vic, an old broken down version of the Raging Bull, right? And this is in a 15x15 ring in the gym that's used for sparring, right?
Mm-hmm.
How on earth is she going to cut off the ring against a very athletic Holly Holm in that massive octagon? Because keep in mind, you could probably fit two professional boxing rings inside that octagon. It's massive. Right?
Yeah.
So that was my question going into the fight, and obviously, well, she didn't have an answer for it. So I tell you what, congratulations to Holly Holm. Couldn't happen to a much nicer, more humble person. And I tell you what, I had the privilege of chatting and meeting Holly several years ago when I was doing publicist work for a regional promoter, one out of El Paso. She was at the event because one of her friends, another female fighter, was fighting on the card, and she was in her corner. And, you know, I was speaking to her about this, and I tell you what, I was very impressed with how kind and how nice, humble she is. You know, even after all the titles that she had won, she was still very down to earth and is very chatty, very pleasant to everybody. So I tell you what, congratulations, well-deserved, and I tell you what, hard work always perseveres now, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In boxing, yeah, that's usually the answer.
So I guess people are probably wondering, why on earth are they talking about this? Well, it's very fitting, guys. When we talk about Dana White, well, putting together this matchup and saying, oh, no, what have I done? When you look at this fight card, James, on Saturday night, that very well could be the case for Golden Boy Promotions in the main event as well as the co-main event. Wow. Yogi, your thoughts on this? Because it's always, you always roll the dice in any big, big matchup where it's considered a 50-50 endeavor. Golden Boy, wow. Boy, they could have a tough night at the office on Saturday night. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, both guys can, okay? you know, this is a fight that they need these signature victories for their company to move ahead. Okay, Golden Boy, they already lost the Lemieux fight. And what other fight did they lose, Joe? The Matisse fight?
Lucas Matisse.
Now Canelo's coming into the plate. Hey, it might be the third out. The inning's over, okay? and it's not good for your company. How can you move your company forward? How can your company grow if these fighters don't deliver? Okay, and especially Canelo. They're expecting Canelo when Floyd and Manny leave to be the, you know, the torchbearer of boxing, the guy to be the big superstar pay-per-view star. You know, Mexico's self-appointed golden boy. Okay, so he has to win this fight, okay? No excuses. Canelo, there's so much pressure on Canelo because he's already been getting put on this pedestal as the great ones. Juan Manuel Marquez, Julio Cesar Chavez, Ruben Olivares, Carlos Zarate, Salvador Sanchez, and he hasn't beaten nobody of significance, okay? In order for him to be put on that mantle with all the great ones from Mexico, he's got to have something on his record to say he deserves to be in that spot, okay? He deserves to be in that spot. But guess what? If he don't win this fight, guess what? he ain't gonna be put on that that mantle with all those great fighters, okay? And you only get so many opportunities, Joe, okay? You only get so many opportunities, and this might be his this might be his last one for a while.
Yeah, boy, jeez, man. This is, and obviously you're going to break down this matchup meticulously. You're going to point out the strengths and weaknesses of both fighters. But give us a little preview about the co-main event. Wow, because Golden Boy's invested a lot of time, effort, and money in their super featherweight badass, Mr. Francisco Vargas. He's going to be taking on the WBC super featherweight champion, Mr. Takeshi Mira. And this is not an easy fight, Gogi.
Well, I'll tell you what, before we talk about that, you know, John, we've been trying to get a hold of Don, and Don, he just called me right now, but I couldn't answer. So is there any way we could talk to him? We could get him on the line right now?
Yeah, absolutely. If you can break down this matchup, just talk maybe for about a minute about the Takeshi Mira and Francisco Vargas matchup. I will get Don on the line, sir.
Okay, go ahead. Give him a call right now. But what I'm trying to this fight with Mira and Vargas, it's going to be an action-packed fight. Both guys, they like to stay right in the pocket and fight. But Mira, he's a strong, tough Japanese kid right in front of you, doesn't have really great skill sets, okay? He doesn't really have proficient footwork. He doesn't have, puts his combinations and punches to get together consistently. He just likes to touch you with that long left jab and land that big left hand. That's his bread and butter, that big left hand right down the middle. When he gets in the pocket, he just likes to lean on you, create a little space, and grip you with that left uppercut. Doesn't throw that many body shots from what I've seen when he fought Yeo Thompson. But let me tell you, Vargas, he likes to get in that pocket and bang. And he likes to mix his combinations up to the body, head, body. Very, very creative puncher, creative combination puncher in the pocket. Okay, he likes to throw all the punches in the book from all angles. The uppercuts, the body shots, the short right hooks, the left hooks, and he mixes it up and he puts them together in combinations consistently. You know, combination after combination after combination. Even when he gets hit by a shot from his opponent, he'll come back, fire a combination on you. So Mira, he doesn't fight at that type of pace, okay? He fights more of a, you know, touch, boom, left hand. And, you know, that's about it. You know, very, very conservative in his punch count and his punch output. And I just think Vargas, you know, the punch output from Vargas and that relentless pressure, I think it might be too much for this guy. And that's going to be the difference. It's going to be the difference in the fight. It's just Vargas is a lot more busier. I think he's a lot more technically sound. And he's relentless. And that's going to be the difference.
Well, unfortunately, yeah, I'm still having trouble getting Don on the line, but we'll try again in about 10 minutes. So, Gogi, let's talk about the strengths and weaknesses of one Canelo Alvarez. Obviously, he is going into this fight with a lot of pressure mounted on his back, but this is a gentleman who seems to be advanced beyond his years. mentally and physically. Gogi, what are the strengths and weaknesses of Saul Canelo Alvarez?
Oh, boy, going in the fight, Canelo, he's a great combination puncher, a very, very creative combination puncher. Physically strong kid, too. Good technical skills, good boxing ability. Has a good jab when he uses it. Good eyes, you know, good counter puncher. That's his strength. When you come right at him, that's when he fights best. When you come right at him, he loves to counter, just like James Kirkland Angulo. When you come right in the pocket, boy, he loves to counter off your mistakes. If you know, usually if you leave yourself wide open, he's going to see, he's got a good set of eyes. He's going to see those openings and make you pay for your mistakes, just like he did Kirkland and everything. So Cotto's got to be very, very careful. When he starts putting that pressure on Cotto, he's got to be very, very careful of getting caught with those combinations and everything. Because Cotto, you know, sometimes he does stay in the pocket, and sometimes he does leave himself open for those counters and everything. But because Canelo, he's such a sharpshooter. He's got great eyes when you're right in front of him. Okay, but when you give him a little bit of movement, hey, it's a different ballgame. He's not as effective like he is when he's in front of you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so Canelo Alvarez, obviously, well, his training has been a big issue. You know, going into this fight, Gogi, and there have been reports that he looks, well, really thin. Is that a good thing, Gogi? What is, you know, will conditioning be a big, big factor in this fight? Because Freddie Roach and Miguel Cotto, well, they've actually interjected that factor into their game plan.
Well, Canelo, all the fights he gets tired in. I don't know what it is, Joe. They say he trains hard, but every time I see him fight, he gets winded. You see it, Joe. You see it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I got a good feel on why he gets tired and everything. So, and I already talked about it, you know, I really believe he doesn't work with that high intensity in training sessions to build up that kind of conditioning where, you know, where you don't get tired like all the great ones do, okay? Like all the great ones do. They don't get tired, you know, when they go through a fight. You know, they'll fight 12-hour rounds. It's the way they train. And Canelo, to me, the way he trains, it's a matter of perspective, Joe. They think they're training hard, but to me, I think they're half-assed when they train. Because I've been in camp with him, and I see the way he trains. He doesn't, you know, like I said, there ain't that consistent high energy, that consistent, you know, juice in him. The whole, you know, he likes to take breaks when he trains. He likes to, you know, like when he shadow box, you know, he'll throw combinations, then he'll walk around the ring, you know, nonchalantly, and, you know, lose his focus on what he's doing. Then he'll get back to it. Same thing when he hits the mitts. He'll hit throw combinations real hard for, you know, 30 seconds, 40 seconds, then he'll walk around the ring, you know what I mean, you know, nonchalantly. There's not that consistent high pace like Oscar De La Hoya when he used to train, that high energy all the time. That juice is always there, you know what I mean, and that fire when he trains. Mm. I didn't see it when I saw Canelo train. I saw a guy that's, you know, a lazy kid, basically reminds me of a heavyweight.
Well, and it showed in the Floyd Mayweather fight. He was very sporadic with his punch output and really didn't know, have any clue on how to cut off the ring and close that distance with proficiency. We saw him attempt to do it also against Arislandi Lada. So, Gogi, is the plan, I mean, because a lot of people, and this is being advertised as, well, it's going to be a war between Mexico and Puerto Rico. If Freddie Roach and Miguel Cotto, if they have done their homework, would you, as a prolific fight trainer, would you tell your fighter, Miguel Cotto, to box for the great majority of the rounds, I guess, in the first quarter of the fight?
So you want me to start breaking down the fight now?
Well,
or do you want to wait later on in the show?
No, let's, you're absolutely right. Let's talk about, first of all, guys, we do have to give you the tail of the tape for both gentlemen. Now, obviously, let's start with Saul Canelo Alvarez. We just outlined the strengths and weaknesses of this this young, well, 25-year-old fighter. He Canelo Alvarez, Saul Canelo Alvarez, is age 25. He fights out of the orthodox stance. He stands 5'9" in the center of the ring. He fights behind a 70-inch reach, originally from Jalisco, Mexico. He is going to come into the ring with a record of 45 wins, one loss, one draw, 32 big wins coming by way of knockout. Wow. You know, and it's funny, a lot of people look at his record, and they think, Gogi, that, well, wait a minute, look at the names on his resume. I don't know. You know, and all fans, they look at the resume, but it's very misleading when you look at his resume. You look at all of his pro fights already. He has more pro fights than Miguel Cotto, but this is a guy who didn't have a deep amateur pedigree. He was learning on the job. So what difference do you think that's going to make going into this fight, Gogi?
When you're going in a fight like this, and you know, is he favored, Canelo, 3-1 or something like that, Joe?
Yeah, he's favored almost 3-1, 2-1 on some sports books.
Okay, that's great and dandy. The pressure's on him to win a big fight, Joe. Okay, that has a lot. That's going to have a lot to do on how he performs. Okay. Okay, because the country of Mexico, you know how they are. They're very unforgiving. Remember after he lost to Mayweather?
Yep.
Oh man.
They turned their backs on him.
Out of the country.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
They were very, very unforgiving. Now he's going to a fight like this where he gets that rare second opportunity to, you know, to beat a superstar, a future Hall of Famer, to give him that win he needs to be considered one of the all time greats like they've been building him up to be. Ah, Joe, that's gonna, you know, all that stuff he's done, you know, and all that, that's good and dandy, man. But you know, you gotta consider other factors when you're going into a fight. And that's one of the big factors I'm considering is the pressure that's on Canelo. But, you know, Golden Boy, hey, yes. You know, there's going to be a lot of pressure on their company because they expect this guy to deliver for him so they could get, you know, the bigger fights. And they move ahead. They grow as a company. But Canelo, yeah, you know, his legacy, boy, is on the line, Joe. How many chances do you get, man? How many chances do you get in this business to put that trophy in your trophy case to give you that status as one of the all-time greats in Mexico? Hey, he's going to get one. He's going to get the opportunity Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. So now we look at the tell the tape for one Miguel Angel Cotto. He comes into the ring age 35. He fights also out of the orthodox stance. He stands 5'7" tall in the center of the ring. Fights behind a 67-inch reach, born in Providence, Rhode Island, but resides out of Caguas, Puerto Rico. He comes into the ring with a record of 40 wins, 4 losses, 33 big wins coming by way of knockout. And it's funny, when you look at his losses, one was to a heavy-fisted Antonio Margarito, a heavy-fisted Manny Pacquiao, a very crafty and very brave Floyd Mayweather on that evening, and then a southpaw matador by the name of Austin No Doubt Trout. So there's no shame in losing to any one of those guys. But, Gogi, what are the strengths and weaknesses of Miguel Cotto?
Oh, boy. Championship experience. His resume. Look at that, Joe. Look at everybody he's beaten, all the great fighters he's beaten. That Canelo has it, okay? That championship experience, his revitalized boxing skills, his defense, his overall defense that Freddie Roach has improved in him since he started training with Freddie, okay? To me, Joe, everybody knows he could punch, a vicious puncher to the body, and that counter left hook of his is vicious, can hurt you at any time, okay? But to me, The three things I like about him is that jab, how proficiently he's working that jab, how he's working using his footwork, you know, moving in and out, moving in circles, moving at angles, and his head and upper body movement, Joe. Them three aspects of his defense, Joe, has improved him as a fighter to me, and that's going to give Canelo problems in the fight. He's not going to be a stationary target like that Pinata Alfredo Angulo, okay, coming right at you, okay, or Kirkland, okay. He's going to be a guy that's going to be, you know, boxing proficiently, okay, being smart and intelligent, working his jab, mid-range, not long-range, mid-range, when he gets in the distance, popping Canelo in his face to set up those combinations he likes inside, you know, just basic combinations, the 1-2 hooks, hook to the body, the uppercut hook right hand, the right hand to the body, right uppercut to the body, left hook, and the counter left hook he likes to land off your combinations. I mean, when both fighters are exchanging, okay, he likes to land that counter left hook right in the middle of exchanges, so you're not ready to to catch it with your right hand or drop under it, you know, weave under it and everything. Oh, and so he's a smart and intelligent fighter, and he knows how to set you up for that big counter left hook. Just one second. I guess Joe's trying to get my partner, Hall of Fame boxer promoter Don Chargan, on the line. I've been trying to get a hold of him. He's in Vegas right now for the big fight, and he's probably in the hotel. And you know how it is when you're in the hotel. It's hard to get service over there, but we're trying to get him on the line. But I was going to say is that's what happens, you know, Miguel Cotto, boy, he's a totally different fighter than when he fought Austin Trout, okay? When Freddie started working with him, he got back to his basics. And the basics were basically, you know, the combinations, working off the jab, the combinations off the jab, the body punches, okay? But it's that counter left hook. But the overall thing that Freddie improved in him a lot was the defense. Yeah, that's the defense is – when you're in championship fights like this and it's pretty – evenly matched, just like in the NFL when two Super Bowl teams are evenly matched, the one with the better defense is going to win the fight, okay? The one that gets hit less is going to win the fight. The one that's smarter, okay, is going to win the fight. So, you know, that's why I'm saying that, you know, it's going to be a hell of a fight and everything. But, like I said, only thing you can do is just watch. wait to see how it plays out and everything. But Canelo, he's good when you come right at him. But when you give him a little bit of movement, okay, therefore he's got to move his heavy feet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't get into rhythm as fast. He doesn't get him into rhythm as fast as when you come at him like a guy like Kirkland or that Pinata Angulo. You know, hey, man, when a guy comes right at you and you know how to handle every pressure, a guy like Canelo will pick you apart. But when you got a guy that gets, you know, when you got a guy that moves on you, that's going to give him angles and movement, that's, after he's done throwing his combinations, he's not going to be there to get hit. And when he's there in the pocket, he's going to be staying low like Freddie has him doing, staying low and moving his head and moving his head and upper body to make you miss with those punches. Ooh. That's going to be a hard target to hit, Joe. That's going to be a hard target to hit, and that could be frustrating to Canelo. I think, you know, you're going to see the difference in Cotto's defense. That's going to surprise a lot of people, and I think it's going to give Canelo Alvarez it's going to frustrate him in the fight, that defense of Miguel Cotto.
Absolutely. So now we're looking at the keys to victory. If you're training, if you're Eddie Reynoso, right, and you're going into this must-win situation, right? This is the Super Bowl for Canelo Alvarez. You need this. You need this to have your name forever entrenched within Mexican fight history. Right?
Oh, you do?
So what are the keys to victory for Saul Canelo Alvarez going into this, well, crossroads bout against a future Hall of Famer?
Like I said, Joe, a couple weeks ago, the guy that can establish his jab on a consistent basis is going to be the guy that's going to be in control of the fight. Do you see how important that jab was when Triple G fought Lemieux and how it controlled the fight, how it controlled the outcome of the fight? It's going to be the same thing with this fight. Okay, no different. He's got a good jab, Joe. Oh, Sweetie Pie. But he's not consistent with it. He'll throw the jab, he'll throw the jab, and he'll quit. He'll forget about it. You know what I mean? That's what he loses his focus, Joe, and forgets to consistently use that jab to set up his offensive game plan, what he's going to do. And he's going to have to do it for this guy, Cotto, because Cotto ain't going to sit there like that Pinata Angulo, okay? Hit me. Hit me. Okay? He's going to be moving. He's going to present a moving target. Just by watching him train with Freddie and the last few fights he's had with Freddie, Freddie has brought his overall boxing game, his footwork, his defense to another level. Okay? He revitalized it. And when you find a fighter like that, he's going to have to move them big, heavy feet of his. But, you know, but the thing is, you know, you just can't walk into those punches because you might walk into that big left hook, and that's going to be the respect factor that Canelo is going to have to give Cotto. Because Cotto, okay, you want to try to pressure me, you're going to try to, bully me because you think you're the bigger, stronger fighter? Okay, guess what? Let me see if you can handle my big left hook. I know when my feather fisted brother hit you, he hurt you. Well, I hit a lot harder than my feather-fisted brother, Jose McGill, okay? You know, so let me see if you can handle my left hook. So come on in and just try to bully me. Try to walk me down like you think you're going to do because you think you're the bigger, stronger fighter. You better bring more to the table than that. And so that's why his jab has got to be proficient that night, Canelo. That's going to set up everything, okay? He's got to cut that movement off, okay, of Cotto, okay? He's got to cut it off, but he's got to do it behind a good, proficient jab. Then when he gets those opportunities where Cotto's right there, okay, then he can start throwing them, you know, them sharp, crisp combinations in the pocket at close range, creatively, like he always does, up and down, down and up, different angles, okay? But he also got to realize Cotto might be setting you up. He wants you to throw those. He's going to sit in the pocket thinking that, you know, to lull you asleep thinking that, oh, okay, I got you. But all of a sudden, that left hook comes out of nowhere. That counter left hook comes out of nowhere, and it can hurt you. Because one thing I noticed about Canelo, he'll sit in the pocket. He'll throw them combinations, Joe, but he stands high. His chin's up there to get hit. What the hell, man? Go ahead. Throw those combinations, Cotto. Throw those combinations, Canelo, when we get in the pocket. I'll just block him slipping. Boom! Counter with that left hook. And you're going to be on your butt, okay? I mean, that's how I was set in trap with Canelo. I box him proficiently, box him moving angles. All of a sudden, when it gets in the pocket, hey, let him throw. I let him throw, but my punch is the last one that's going to count, and that's going to be that counter check left hook.
Mm. Wow. So not only did you outline the keys to victory for Canelo, you just outlined the keys to victory for Miguel Cotto.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, when I look at this, though, and the great Emanuel Stewart once told me, he said, everything begins and ends in boxing with footwork.
Mm-hmm.
And he pointed out to me that footwork determines everything in this sport. Footwork and power. And
mm-hmm.
Gogi, you know, it sure was the case last Saturday night. Will it be the case this Saturday night from the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas? And is that the primary key to victory for Miguel Angel Cotto?
Oh, you're damn right. It's that footwork and that jab. That's going to set up everything. And that head and upper body movement. The three phases of his defense, Joe, that Freddie improved on him, you know, that's going to be the key. Everything else will come together, Joe. He'll know when to put the combinations together. He'll know when to dig those body shots, okay? All right? And to set the traps with that big left hook of his, okay? But the footwork, the jab, and the head and upper body movement, you know, to keep Canelo off rhythm so he doesn't get into rhythm to throw them beautiful combinations he likes to throw, okay? Head, body, body, head, you know what I mean? If you're in front of him, okay? But, you know, everybody thinks, oh, you know, he walked down Mayweather, which he did, you know, as the fight went on. He walked down Lara, Austin Trout, but they ain't got that counter check left hook that's going to get the respect like Miguel Cotto, who can hurt you. You see, you know, how he's been. Oh, my God, Delvin Rodriguez, Daniel Gill, Sergio Martinez. Oh, my God, that left hook of his, that counter left hook or that lead left hook he likes to sneak in there. Ugh. Canelo, boy, he better be very, very careful. All I know, Joe, in the pocket, that guy, when Canelo throws his combinations, his chin is a little bit too high, okay? And to me, if I was Freddie, I would see that and just set a trap. Go ahead and throw your combinations. Make him miss, block him, but make sure you land your last punch. Make sure you land the last punch in that exchange, McGill, and that's that counter left hook. Down goes Canelo. Down goes Canelo.
Wow. Boy, I tell you what, it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out. Gogi, before we actually get your official War Week Radio prediction for this fight, well, there was something that actually happened this week. It actually happened yesterday, where Miguel Cotto, well, refused to pay the sanctioning fees of the WBC. And, you know, most people within the boxing community that's been reporting on this, they seem to think that this is, well, really of no consequence. You know, who cares? It's the WBC strap. That's not why people are actually paying to see this fight. And everyone's taking the angle from the marketing perspective. But, Gogi, could this be a detrimental act that Miguel Cotto just did? Could this actually be a detriment to his chances to win the fight on Saturday night?
Oh, Joe, of course. I told everybody, boy, I think he made a mistake, by being cheap and not wanting to pay the WBC because of the fact before this fight was made, three judges were picked that were agreed by both champs. All three judges are WBC judges. WBC judges, okay? Therefore, Miguel Cotto didn't want to pay that sanctioning fee. Rod Nation didn't want to pay that $25,000 promotional fee to put the fight on. Do you think the WBC wants Miguel Cotto to win this fight if he goes the distance? You know how Vegas is, Joe. You've seen some scandalous decisions over there. I mean, honestly, Joe, these are three WBC judges. This guy, Cotto, if he wins the fight, okay, he's not going to be the WBC champion, and it's going to, pretty much, Golovkin's going to be automatically, elevated to the real, he's a real world champion right now, but he'll be officially, been done. But, everybody knows that Canelo, they want Canelo to be the next golden boy of boxing, since Pacquiao and Mayweather are pretty much done. So, this fight is in Vegas, Joe. You see some scandalous decisions over there, questionable decisions. And they got one judge that Cotto picked, one judge that Canelo picked, and the other judge is neutral. Well, guess what, Joe? It ain't who you think me, you, or everybody else out there listening thinks who wins. It's the three judges. And all he needs is two of them to convince. All he needs to do is convince two of them to get the victory, okay? And if this fight goes the distance, Joe, man, I can see Canelo getting his hands rigged. Meaning being in the business so long and the politics, the dirty politics that go behind it. Now, when Cotto didn't pay that sanctioning fee. Jeez, you know what I mean?
Wow.
He just put a knife in. He might have put a big old roadblock to his victory. The only way he's gonna win this fight, Joe, he's gotta knock this guy out. If it goes to the decision, I don't think they're gonna give him the decision.
Wow. Well, your judges at ringside are actually Dave Moretti, Burt Clemens, and John McKay. John McKay is the only, I guess, substantial effort that he's been involved with, and he's usually an East Coast judge. I guess he's from the New York area. I guess maybe that's who Miguel Cotto's camp chose. He actually scored, the most noteworthy fight that he's been a part of as of late, or this year, was he scored Steve Cunningham and Antonio Tarver. It was a tough fight to score, and he scored it in favor, which eventually ended in a draw, but he scored it in favor of Steve Cunningham, 115, 113, or 7-5. Wow. Dave Moretti, Burt Clemens, and John McKay, those are your three kings at ringside. The referee in charge of the action on Saturday night is going to be Mr. Robert Byrd, Hall of Famer. What do you think of that, Gogi?
Well, he ain't got to break. These guys don't excessively hold, like, you know, all these other bitches you've been seeing on PBC, okay? These guys fight, so you ain't got to worry about, you know, warning them about excessive holding, okay? These guys are two warriors. They like, they don't mind fighting in the pocket and everything. This is a perfect ref. This is a perfect ref to judge a fight like this.
So there you have it. And going now, I guess, Gogi, it's time for the official War Week Radio prediction. Gogi, are you predicting controversy this Saturday night?
If it goes the distance and they give Canelo the decision, and Joe, I'm just going by the track record of Vegas. You know, since I've been in this business since the '80s and everything, I just know how they want certain guys to win. Okay, certain guys are favored because it's only good, you know, not only for boxing, but the Vegas economy too. Look at Floyd Mayweather. Look at the money he brings to the Vegas economy and everything. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's the dirty politics of boxing. Look at Lara when he fought Canelo. Everybody thought Lara won the fight, and they gave it to Canelo. You know, so you know stuff like that and everything, Joe. I just think if it goes, if Cotto don't knock him out, they're gonna give. I think they're gonna give Canelo. There's a good possibility they're gonna give Canelo the decision.
Yeah, I had Arislandi Lotta winning that fight that was held in Vegas. I had him winning that fight 8-4, Gogi.
Do you really think he was going to win that fight if he didn't knock him out, Joe? That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, it's funny because these fighters, when they enter a big fight, they think they're on a level playing field because they share the same promoter. Like in that situation, Arislandi Lotta was a Golden Boy fighter as well. And before the fight, I even asked Ronnie Shields about that. And he said, no, he's a Golden Boy fighter. We'll be fine. Okay. And I remember back in the day when Miguel Cotto fought Josh Clotty. HBO analyst Larry Merchant at the time asked Josh Clotty that same question. Josh Clotty said, no, we're on a level playing field. Top Rank is my promoter, and they believe in me as well. So I feel good about my chances. Okay.
Joe, Ronnie should have known who makes more money for the company, okay? Don't matter if they have the same promoter. Who makes more money for the company? Which counts.
Yeah. So, wow. Gogi, I tell you what, brother. Do you think, and I posed this same question to Ronnie on last night's program on Real Boxing with Ronnie Shields. I asked him, well, do you think maybe Miguel Cotto, do you think maybe he took into consideration and this was a factor in choosing not to actually pay the WBC sanctioning fees? Maybe he truly believes what Freddie Roach has been feeding him this entire camp, that he's going to take Canelo into deep waters and he's going to drown him by way of knockout in the late rounds. Do you think that's what Miguel Cotto is planning on, sir?
That's, you know, knowing Freddie, how he likes those spectacular finishes, and knowing that Canelo tires as the fight goes on, yeah, I can see Freddie why he thinks it's going to play out like that.
Well, guys, so if you're a betting man, if I were to bet, I would hedge my bet. Cotto by way of knockout and Saul Canelo Alvarez hedged by a Saul Canelo Alvarez decision. And there you have it. There's my handicapping advice,
you know, Joe,
for the evening.
Joe, you know me, I was going, you know, I always like to wait to the final week to make my prediction because, you know, factors change, you know, circumstances change. And I was really going for when this first fight was made, I said, man, I thought Cotto would have no problem. I thought, you know, when we talked about this fight like a year ago, year and a half ago, when we were talking about this fight is going to be made, it's just a matter of time, you know, because it's a big fight, mm-hmm. I thought Cotto, Canelo would have no problem because I thought Miguel Cotto was past his prime, a little shot, you know, and he starts to get hit a lot. All of a sudden he went with Freddie somehow and miraculously, his career is revitalized. His footwork, his legs are strong, his movement, the angles, head and upper body movement, his reflexes, that explosive left hook is he's hitting harder than I ever seen him before. That changed my, you know, hey man, I gotta go by what I see with my eyes, Joe. Not when he fought Austin Trout, okay, but how he looked his last three fights. To me, man, he's revitalized and he's looking good as I've ever seen him, okay. And I was picking Cotto, but all of a sudden this comes up this week about him, you know, not wanting to pay the WBC sanctioning fee. I'm like, oh God. you know that can come back to haunt him. That could come back to bite him in the ass. Okay, because you know, if you ain't got the WBC's backing, therefore, hey man, you think they want? You really think they want him to win?
Hmm. Well, I tell you what, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Gogi, the line right now, okay, on the most reliable sports book that I have. Is Saul Canelo Alvarez is the favorite at a -305. So it seems that the line is actually spreading out in favor of Saul Canelo Alvarez. This is a jump by almost 50 points from just last week. Miguel Cotto is listed as a +250. So those are healthy odds, guys. Like I stated, if I were a betting man, I would actually post a hedged bet. Miguel Cotto by way of knockout, hedged by a Saul Canelo Alvarez decision. Now, I'm not telling anyone to bet, far be it from me, but if I were to do that, yeah, I'd make some coin as a 3-1 favorite or a almost 3-1 underdog. Yes, I would put some money on Miguel Cotto. But that's just me.
Yeah.
So I tell you what, guys, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But, Gogi, also, you know, we touched on this a little bit earlier in the show. Gogi, it's going to be interesting to see how well this pay-per-view performs. I honestly am predicting. Now, initially, when this fight was first announced, I'm like, well, this is a great matchup. This is huge. I think it's going to be about 1.5 million pay-per-view buys. But then looking at the Golovkin-Lemieux disaster, great box office sales, and it was a dud on the pay-per-view market. Well, you look at the box office sales. Initially, this was reported as a sellout. Now, what we're hearing and reading from Vegas is that, well, that's inaccurate. Yes, officially it's sold out, but the third-party markets that originally bought up all the seats, the scalpers, they're having a hard time selling these tickets, and they have now decreased the prices to face value. I'm reading that there are over 1,500 tickets still left, and the Mandalay Bay isn't exactly the biggest venue on the Strip. Gogi, is this a negative implication on how the pay-per-view is actually going to perform and sell on Saturday night?
A good feeling it is, Joe. You know, like I said, goes back to what Don Sargent told me 2 weeks before the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. James, if this fight's a dud, it's going to hurt the pay-per-view market for years. Well, guess what? Mayweather's next fight with Berto tanked. Golovkin's fight tanked. Well, it did 150, you know, but it didn't do as good as they wanted. Now, this is the third pay-per-view fight. Let's see if there's still toxic effects for the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight that's going to affect the pay-per-view sales on this one.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think that coupled with, well, the success of Rousey versus Holm just the week prior at a reduced price. Keep in mind, that was the biggest fight going on, you know, this month, according to mainstream and casual viewers. And it was at a lower price at only $50 in SD, $60 in HD. Is it going to negatively affect this pay-per-view? Is it going to sell or is it going to affect the results on Saturday? We'll see. But, guys, that's your main event of the evening. And we on Warwick Radio, well, Gogi, Maestro Gogi predicted, well, a potentially controversial decision for Saul Canelo Alvarez Or if the weather's right, a Miguel Cotto stoppage in the late rounds. We'll see what happens, guys. But let's go to your co-main event of the evening, Gogi. I know you briefly talked about this one. In my opinion, Gogi, everyone is already predicting that the main event is going to be lights out. I don't think so, in which you're going to see a very tactical, intelligent version of Miguel Cotto, at least throughout the great majority of this contest. But in the co-main event, Gogi, I think this one's going to be bombs away. I truly believe the co-main event is going to steal the show. This has potential fight of the year written all over it, Gogi. What are your thoughts on this?
It's going to be a good fight because both guys are right there, Joe. You ain't got to, what do you call it? One guy ain't got to chase the other guy. Both guys like to sit in the pocket, okay? What's his name? The Japanese guy, man, and from what I've seen when he fought Yael Thompson, he's a big, heavy-handed puncher, especially with that straight left hand. That's his bread and butter, Joe.
Oof.
Hands up. Like I said, he was not really athletically talented, half-ass jab. He likes to touch you with just to measure it so he can land that big left hand in the pocket. He likes to just throw those uppercuts. But he's physically strong and heavy-handed. Anybody like that, Joe, with a good chin is always going to give you a problem. But Vargas, oh, he's relentless, nonstop combination puncher, creative combination puncher in the pocket. Those punches from all angles. You know, let me see.
Yep, he looks like a little Tony Margarito, doesn't he?
Yeah. If he could take that big left hand of the Japanese guy, let me tell you, man. I think he's going to overwhelm him with that punch output and everything.
Well, I tell you what, that's a big if. If he can, I mean, you know, he's shown that he has a great beard, but I don't think he's ever faced anyone who can punch like, well, Takashi Miura. Now, he did face a shot version of Juanma Lopez, didn't he?
Yeah.
Juanma can punch. Juanma can punch, and he's a southpaw as well, and he just ran through him like a hot knife through butter. Is he going to have that same success against Takashi Miura, the current WBC super featherweight champion? Gogi, I mean, you could say this. Well, yeah, potentially you can see that happening because, yes, Miura doesn't have the quickest hands, doesn't have the quickest reflexes, and he doesn't really throw as many punches, not nearly as many as Francisco Vargas.
Yeah.
But, man, I mean, if you look at Takashi Miura's hands, even just on his box rec photo, boy, he's got some clubs at the end of his arms.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's hitting him with a ham hock, brother. And for a guy in the 130-pound weight division, it's absolutely phenomenal the kind of power this guy has. Wow, this is in my opinion, Gogi, this one's lights out, brother, and it's all action as long or as short as it lasts. Your prediction on this fight, your official Gogi prediction.
I think, from what I see on tape, you know, just a little bit of tape I could pick up on both guys. I know how Vargas fights because I've seen him fight in person and in TV a lot. He's a pressure fighter. Likes to come, you know, he likes to come and mix, you know, he does it real skillfully, Joe. He just doesn't rush in there with his head, you know, out there to get hit. Okay, he does it really intelligently. He likes to, you know, work his jab, get a sense of his distance where he needs to be at, to get inside to throw those effective combinations. He likes to throw a close range and everything. Okay, so he's gonna fill him out. He's gonna see what's his name is gonna try to offer right off the bat. He's gonna be looking out for that left hand. To me, this guy is pretty much a one dimensional fighter. That left hand. But he can punch with it, so you got to be careful with it. So if I was Vargas, I would step to the left a little, stay away from that power hand, and you know, slip it a few times just to get used to it. Then once then as the fight goes on, you know, Joe, he's going to start getting that, you know, timing and rhythm, and he's going to start getting that sense of distance he needs to know where he's at, to get in that pocket, to start working them combinations, you know, up and down, down and up. What's going to work effectively? Them uppercuts, right uppercuts, left hook, straight right hands, the right hand, straight right hand, left hook, right hand, the right hand, left hooks to the body, the left hook, left uppercuts to the body, then come back to the head, okay? And if I was Vargas, be smart, you know, and keep staying to his left. Keep his lead leg outside this guy's lead leg so you're not in the direct line of his power hand, which is that left hand. And just keep on, you know, attacking him, but do it at angles, staying to the left, the volume of punches and everything. You know, that straight right hand is going to be there all day for Vargas. Okay, that left hook, the right hand, you know what I mean? Inside the pocket, that guy likes to lean in. Okay, square up and lean in. All them uppercuts should be there. Them body shots should be there. Okay? And just the volume of punches, I think it's going to be too much for this guy. Mira and everything. He's just going to, you know, Mira's just going to, you know, out there, you know, figure you out, you know, from a distance, try to get his, you know, sense of range and distance, touch you with a jab. And if he feels he has that jab, if he feels that, you know, he's in good range, by touching you with that jab, that straight left hand is going to come right down the middle. Joe, he's pretty much predictable and one-dimensional. This other guy brings more dimensions to his game, okay? This guy, Mira, doesn't put his combinations together proficiently like Vargas does, okay? He doesn't, you know, he's just basically a 1-2-punch, 3-punch combination puncher, okay? And nothing really fancy about the guy. Not really athletically talented, gifted, okay? Not blessed with, you know, like Jorge Linares type ability, but because he's got a strong, big, thick head, big, thick skull, sturdy chin, and heavy hands, he's always going to give a problem in a 12-round fight to any fighter that gets in the ring with him because of his them attributes.
Absolutely. He's a champion for a reason. He's the current WBC title holder for a reason. And that's what I was just going to point out, Gogi. Not only does this guy have power, but he's ultra durable, right? Even in loss.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a great fight, guys. Buckle up because the co-main event is going to be a great one. And we're going to be calling it on War Week Radio. In my opinion, Gogi, though, Francisco Vargas is the best 130-pounder in the world. And I think everyone's going to realize it after this fight.
He's got to prove it.
I tell you what, if Francisco Vargas wins this and captures the WBC title, I can see Top Rank and Golden Boy trying to put together Francisco Vargas, versus the Axeman from Jamaica, Nicholas Walters. Wow, wouldn't that be something special, Gogi?
Oh, yeah. The Axeman, yeah. Yeah, I like to see how he moves up to 130 and competes in the 130-pound division if he can carry his power, you know, from 26 to 30. They usually do, Joe. They usually do. He had a very, very hard time making 26. So just imagine at 130, he's going to be stronger, he can eat more, and he's not going to have to starve himself to make weight. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. But first things first, you got to win the title first, and it's not going to be easy. That's your co-main event of the evening, guys. Francisco Vargas is going to challenge Takashi Mira in the co-main event of the evening for the WBC Super Featherweight Championship at 130 pounds. Now, the second fight on the broadcast, Gogi, is going to be Golden Boy's IBF Bantamweight Champion Randy Caballero versus Lee Haskins for his IBF Bantamweight Championship. Gogi, do you even want to comment on this fight, brother?
Let me tell you about Caballero, man. When I went to Palm Springs a few weeks ago, when I had my guy fighting on that Golden Boy short card over there, I went to go watch Caballero train and everything. Man, I really like that guy. He's a very charismatic personality. Reminds me of a young Danny Romero, okay? Reminds me of a young Danny Romero. You know, just a real, real great guy. Guy has some ability too, Joe. He has some skills and ability and everything. And,
absolutely.
You know, when you got a guy like Caballero, you know, who's, you know, a good-looking kid from El Salvador. I think he's from El Salvador, yeah, not Mexico or any of the other Latin countries. You know, good, great personality. He's over there from that Coachella Valley. They have, the Fantasy Springs Casino. They have an arena, man. You know, try to build him up over there. Try to make him a big ticket seller over there because they got a nice arena where he could pack the place. you know, I don't know how much, probably 4,000 or 5,000 people that venue holds. It'd be, you know, if Golden Boy Smart, mm-hmm. you know, they would market him over there and build him up over there to a ticket seller, okay, to increase his value to the company and to the fighter, okay? That's another story, Joe. We'll talk about that another day, okay? All right.
Yeah.
Top Rank gets it.
Well,
Don Chargan gets it, okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He is originally from Mendio, California, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny. He won the title in October of 2014, he hasn't defended it until now. Gogi, is the year layoff going to hurt him against a very tough Lee Haskins? I mean, Lee Haskins isn't exactly the most talented fighter in the division, but he's tough and hasn't lost a fight since 2012.
I don't know how
tough,
I don't know how Lee Haskins fights. I don't know how Lee, if he comes right at you and that's made for Caballero, a guy like that Caballero boy, he likes to, you know, he likes guys that come at you so he can box and counterpunch and work off your mistakes, counter off your openings. Okay, so it's the Caballero's advantage and everything that this guy comes in there, you know. Right, you know, like a pinata, like Angulo, you know, where, you know, you can pretty much, you know, close your eyes and throw punches and you're going to land.
Maybe
well,
they should change
the
nickname.
I'm picking on Alfredo Angulo tonight.
Maybe they should change his nickname instead of El Perro. Maybe they should start calling him Alfredo La Pinata Angulo. My goodness.
Yeah.
But I tell you campus. What, so guys... Oh, jeez. Poor Yuri boy, man. Quit picking on the Yuri boy, brother. Come on now. Oh, jeez. Yuri boy compass.
Yeah.
But anyway, the... excuse me, my goodness. That is your second bout of the evening. The opening bout, Gogi. Jeez. Do you think they're selling out Ronnie Rios? Think they don't believe him anymore? Okay, because he's going to be taking on undefeated Mr. Jason Velez. It's going to be take place in the featherweight division, guys. Ronnie Rios at one time was considered one of Golden Boy Promotion's best prospects until he got KTFO'd. So are they hanging him out to dry? Is this a sink or swim fight in the opening bout of the pay-per-view between Jason Velez and Ronnie Rios, Gogi?
Hey, Joe, you know, you got to take fights like this. I mean, the guy's not a ticket seller, that Rios. He just got knocked out a couple fights ago, okay? You know, you just can't keep babying these guys and putting them with soft fights to build a record up. No. You know, he had enough nurturing, okay? He had enough coddling. I also put him in the fights to see if he has what it takes. If not, you know, hey, man, like the NFL, you don't produce. Bye-bye, you know, and the next fighter steps up. No, that's the way the business is, Joe. It's just ain't no different from the NFL. No production, no paycheck. Bye. We'll find somebody else. And this Rios, you know, he's been with Golden Boy, you know, for over 5 years. Oh, they've been more than generous with this guy, all the money they put into him to build up his career, okay? And they ain't getting their money back. They haven't got their money back on their investment, on the return. So, yeah, put him in there, man. Shoot, yeah. And Joe, but the main thing is, you're doing pay-per-view, okay? You need good matchups on pay-per-view, okay? Okay, people are buying this fight. It's not free TV like Al Heyman, okay? So you want good matchups, okay, to give your fans out there, you know, entertainment value for their buck and everything. So, nah, I don't believe in that. I'm tired of this. I hear that all the time. Oh, man. Oh, what's Golden Boy do putting me in a fight like this? Why is Golden Boy making me fight in this place? You know, all this stuff. They want me to lose. Nah, you sucker, man. So also, I hear this excuses from all these fighters. That's the effects of the Floyd Mayweather era fighters, okay? They all want to be pampered and coddled and protected like Floyd Mayweather. But guess what, man? When Floyd was coming up, he wasn't pampered or coddled. He had to earn this. He had to earn his distinction in boxing when he was coming up. Diego Corrales, Jose Luis Castillo, Carlos Pomoza Hernandez, Genaro Hernandez. You know what I mean? Come on, man. He earned his bones in boxing. He earned his bones in boxing and everything to get that status, Joe. And, but you know, but they see Floyd doing it. You know what I mean? Oh, and they ain't in Jack squat. And they want to be coddled like that. You know, man, Joe, I don't want to mention names, but I am sick and tired of hearing this of fighters nowadays. Back in the days, you know, the managers, when you got the fighter fight, okay, no problem. Now the fighters, you're going to be fighting this guy. Oh, let me see some tape of him on YouTube. Let me check him out on BoxRec. Let me call 20 guys to see if it's the right guy for me to fight. Ah, get the hell out of here with that fool. Okay? I'm tired of it. I see this. Ron, you said Ronnie Shields said that last night on your show. Well, guess
yeah,
what?
I was just.
I hear it all the time.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, even Ronnie, and I asked him this, if this was a direct result and influence of the Mayweather era. The success that he had, has it been a detriment, and will it prove to be a detriment to the future health of the sport? And even Ronnie had to say a resounding yes. I was very, very surprised.
Yeah. It's true, though, Joe. Come on, look everywhere. Man, you know what? You fans out there, if you're not in the business, you guys don't understand. But if you're like me and you deal with these fighters and, you could see him on the internet or this or that. Everybody wants to be treated and spoiled like Floyd. That's the effects of Floyd Mayweather's, the era of Floyd Mayweather, okay? Number one, they fight safety first. They don't know how to get the fans pleasing fights. Then they want to be, they want to be coddled and protected and make sure they get the right fights and everything. Oh, please, when you can't sell $10, when you can't sell 10 tickets and you start asking for those demands, come on, man. A promoter's job is to give you reasonable fights. Like Ronnie Rios is fighting Jason Velez. That's a reasonable fight for his career. Okay? Now, promoter can't win the damn fight for you. Your coach can't win the fight. Your manager can't win the fight. You got to go out there and win the fight. And if you don't win the fight, well, hey, guess what? You're not made for this sport. Maybe you need to go find another line of occupation. Maybe you need to go get a job. Okay? Because you're not cut out to be a champion. If you can't beat a guy like Jason Velez, hey, you're not cut out to be champion. So that's a very, very reasonable fight. And these damn fighters nowadays, man. Oh, geez. I don't want to talk about it, Joe. I don't want to go in too many details because I don't want to get back to the fighters that I talked to about this, and they just don't understand. I explain it to them, and they think I'm hating or I'm trying to ruin their career or la 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 whatever, man. Okay, and I explained to him that, hey, you ain't, what have you done? Nothing, zero, okay? So when you're coming up, you got to take these type of fights. Floyd did when he was coming up. People don't remember. People forget about that. Diego Corrales, Angel Manfredi, Carlos Formoso Hernandez, Arturo Gatti, Jose Luis Castillo twice, Carlos Formoso Hernandez. Jesus, that's a pretty damn impressive list of fighters he beat, okay? Not until he earned his bones, then he started being – he had the right to be selected, and he was a ticket seller. That's the key. He was a big pay-per-view draw and a ticket seller. Then he started doing that. Now these fighters, they don't understand what Floyd accomplished before he got to that point where he could do that.
Well, I tell you what, Gogi, unfortunately, yeah, I'm having a real problem actually getting in touch with the Don. So who knows?
Man,
I tell you what, it's funny, we get a comment. I will try in just about 5 minutes. I just tried three times in a row. But, Gogi, we have a comment from Big Luke. He joins us from For the Love of Boxing. He says, AWOL, is the Don making it rain tonight with his man, Money May?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Now, Don doesn't roll that way, brother. Maybe back in the 50s, brother, but not today, my friend. But we're we're going to try again in just a bit, guys. But I tell you what, Gogi, yeah, it's going to be – yeah, you're absolutely right. You're going to have to – you know, with all the money that Golden Boy has invested in a guy like Ronnie Rios, as well as a lot of fighters, you know, you've got to expect to earn your money. You're going to have to fight. You know, and that should be the ultimate goal. If you don't, like Holly Holm just stated, right, after her victory, if you're in this business and don't want to fight the best fighters available, then you shouldn't be in this business. You should pick another line of work. Do you agree with
that,
Gogi?
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Hey, look, Joe, you got to put in entertaining, reasonable fights to the fans, man, or this sport would die. Heyman's starting to figure that out, okay? Him and his Mother Teresa attitude of babying and calling us fighters, and he was finding out, hey, that ain't working. My ratings are taking a dive. Until he starts putting competitive fights on his all those TV networks he's got on right now, what he's been doing, hey, then it starts changing the outlook of his company. But he started off wrong, Joe. All these, you know, non-pleasing matches that fans don't want to see, okay? All those fighters, he should have had them right off the bat fighting each other, man. Keith Thurman, Danny Garcia, okay? Sean Porter against so-and-so, whoever, man. All those fighters he had, he should have been matching them right off the bat. You know, the first 3-4 months of his business, to get that PBC brand out there. But what does he do? He gives you a bunch of bullshit matches when he's starting off, and it left a sour taste in my mouth and a lot of fans out there. Okay, first impression is always everything, Joe, when you're starting out a business. Okay, but what does he do? You know, a lot of bad mismatches. Ratings started taking a dive. Now, lately, there have been some pretty damn good matches on the PBC. Okay, it's starting to change. But Al should have did that right off the bat. You know what I mean? He should have did that right off the bat.
Well, I tell you what, in a perfect world, yeah, I would like to see Edwin Lobomba Rodriguez on at least once every month.
Yeah, yeah.
That matchup Friday was outstanding, Gogi. But it's a little unreasonable to expect fighters, I think, and fight fans have this mentality, to expect those kind of matchups every single week because it's ultimately at a cost. Well, Ronnie just broke the news, dropped a bomb on his show last night that Edwin Rodriguez couldn't even remember fighting in the ring the day and the following day after his matchup, after his big victory. And Ronnie asked him, he said, well, wait a minute. You did exactly what I told you to do in rounds 2 and in the preempted round number 3. And Edwin says, well, show me, because I don't even remember doing that. And Edwin watched the fight, and he goes, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that actually happened. He didn't remember a damn thing, Gogi. So speaking with Ronnie, he says, yeah, don't expect to see Edwin in the ring anytime soon. We're going to make a comeback in 2016, but he's going to take some well-deserved time off. Gogi, in your professional opinion and in your experience, how much time should be allotted for Edwin Rodriguez out of the gym?
Shoot, when you get concussed like that, shit, I wouldn't take a punch on my head for 6 months. Let his brain heal, you know what I mean? A lot of fighters, you know, they get knocked out, Joe. Then they come back. You know, that's what ruins you early. You know what I mean? These consecutive knockouts and everything. And when your brain gets concussed, it takes a long time to heal. Sometimes you get knocked out real bad. You don't come back. You're not the same fighter. Like my guy TV, when he got knocked out by Angulo, he never was the same afterwards. After he got knocked out by Angulo, he never was the same. He couldn't take a punch no more. Okay? But, you know, the brain is, you know, it's something you don't mess with, okay? It's something that's permanent damage, okay? That's going to have, it can have, you know, dreadful effects on your life later on in your life, okay? But yeah, to me, I wouldn't see a guy gets concussed like that. Oh, man, nothing, you know. Number one, keep him away from the gym. Any running or anything that shakes your brain, Joe, stay away from it, man. You know, just talk to a doctor. Basically, it's just talk to your doctor, a neurosurgeon, or a neurologist, and he'll give you the best advice, okay?
That's absolutely correct, brother. So, once again, guys, it's something that we all ask and we all hope to see in the ring, but obviously those actions and those fights have consequences. So, Wow, it's a brutal sport, guys. But I tell you what, congratulations to Edwin Rodriguez, and can't wait to see him back in the ring. That was an outstanding, outstanding effort, and in my opinion, round of the year by far, round number one. But I tell you what, Gogi, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And you're absolutely right. You can see that trend from PBC, right? You can see that trend from PBC because, yes, they are losing money. So you're seeing Al Heyman and Floyd Mayweather even remarked about it, that too many of these guys, they want the easy road. They're getting spoiled. He even remarked about it as some of his fighters even on the money team. So, well, Floyd Mayweather, what do you expect, brother? It's like, does he realize that he somewhat started this trend? He and Al Heyman are responsible for this?
Yep.
Do they realize that, you think, Gogi?
Yep. I mean, they're realizing it now when they start dealing with fighters and when the fighters start acting like you. You know, making these demands like you, yeah, they're starting to realize, oh, geez, what have I done? And that's the effects of the Floyd Mayweather era.
And that's why you see the Showtime schedule actually a lot busier. Absolutely. That's what makes the Showtime schedule so much busier is now Al is entertaining the idea of getting that big licensing fee from the network. Boy, it sure is sounding really, really good right now.
So there you
have it, brother. But I tell you what, Gogi, let's talk about the aftermath, Canelo versus Cotto, right? What's going to happen? Canelo, if he wins, you know, right now Oscar De La Hoya is calling what Miguel Cotto did in ditching the WBC title, in avoiding defending his title, I guess, against the best middleweights in the world. He's calling it a disgrace. Gogi, do you see Canelo Alvarez doing the same exact thing and Oscar De La Hoya looking like a big, big hypocrite?
You mean doing? What do you mean, Joe? Doing the exact same thing, what?
As Miguel Cotto.
I already paid the sanctioning fee, Joe.
No, I'm talking about if he wins the title. Gogi.
I can see it happening, yeah. I can see him avoiding Golovkin, yeah. I can see him happening. Look, if he beats Cotto, boy, he's going to probably be the hottest fighter in boxing, okay? Honestly, he'll be Mexico's darling because he finally beat somebody with a marquee name. And don't you think you want to protect him a little? Don't you think, as a businessman, don't you think Oscar would be prudent not to fight Golovkin right off the bat? I don't think it'd be a good idea. Oh yeah, I think it's a business move. I don't think it'd be a good business move to go right after Golovkin after this, knowing Oscar.
Yeah. So who do you think Canelo's going to fight if he does win the fight, win this matchup on Saturday night? And it's a big, big if, Gogi. But who do you see? Do you see Golden Boy in Top Rank putting together a Bradley fight in 2016?
You know, Joe, if this fight's good and it's a barn burner and everybody's excited, I can't see why there might be a rematch, okay? If this fight's good and explosive and everybody got their money's worth, then let's do a rematch, let's double the money, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think what's going to be a huge factor in determining whether or not there's a rematch is whether or not this fight actually makes money, Gogi.
Sells, exactly.
I mean, obviously, if the fight is action-filled and there's somewhat of a demand, but it depends on how much money they lose because now we're talking about, is this fight even going to break even? Gogi, this is a huge, huge concern by all parties involved. Yeah. So we'll see. I tell you what, if Cotto wins, what do you see Miguel Cotto doing aside from a rematch? That's already given that that's a possibility. What are the other options for Miguel Cotto if he does win this fight on Saturday night?
Who knows, Joe? His minimums that he signed with Rog Nation, whether they $15 to $17 million. Oh God, you're gonna have to find him a fight that's gonna produce that type of money, man. Or Rog Nation is just gonna keep they're gonna keep losing money, you know, on every fight with Cotto. Okay. Man, they signed him to this ridiculous contract. Hey, good for Miguel Cotto. Good for his advisor Gabby. Okay, Rock Nation were the suckers, and they got to deliver now, okay? They got to deliver this money, and me personally, Joe, if this pay-per-view don't do good, Rock Nation is going to lose another, you know, $3 to $5 million on this fight, at least, you know, because, you know, I don't know how the financial details of this fight and on who pays who and everything, but I know that Cotto's guaranteed $15 to $17 million on this fight. Okay, and if this pay-per-view don't do too good, who's got to come up with the other money? I don't think HBO is going to want to pay, you know, pay the difference. You know, so I don't know, man. Like I said, if it's a great fight and it doesn't do good at the box office, there might not be a rematch, like you said, Joe. It's got to do good at the box office before it becomes a rematch.
Yeah, absolutely. In my opinion, that's the determining factor, whether or not we see a sequel. As well as the way this fight plays out, guys. That's so important. That's why people don't like, that's why these fighters don't even like, without fighting the first bout, you talking about a rematch. It's like, I remember when Ellie Sekbek, you know Ellie Sekbek, Ron.
Ellie, my man, yeah. No, Ellie, good man.
Well, it's
good
funny, guy. He went up to Bob Arum before the first Mayweather-Pacquiao bout, and he said, Bob Arum, do you think there could be a rematch, and do you think the rematch is going to be bigger than the first one? And Bob Arum looked at him and goes, what kind of stupid question is that? Let him fight the first one first. They're to talk about a rematch right now. What,
yeah,
are you, stupid?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, smart, poor Ellie, man.
Smart answer, yeah. That's what happens, Joe, when you – you know, when you're new in the business like Ellie, and you go up and ask a veteran guy like a stupid question, like a guy like Parham, you're going to get an earful. Like me when I was younger in the business, I used to ask these veteran guys stupid questions. I used to get an earful from him by asking such a stupid question.
Wow. I can't even fathom that, Gogi. But I tell you what, guys, also, guys, on AWE Saturday afternoon, don't forget, we've got a doubleheader on A Wealth of Entertainment, AWE. Should be a great fight card from two different locations. Manchester, England, the first one. It's going to be Darlys Perez taking on Anthony Million Dollar Crawler. Awful name, because it doesn't really sound good unless you say it with a British accent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Million Dollar Crawler. If you say it like an American, Million Dollar Crawler, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
So anyway, Darlys Perez, and it's a rematch. You remember, Gogi, the first bout had some controversy in which the ring announcer, he incorrectly actually called the wrong score.
I don't remember, Joe. I don't follow them fights from England. I don't get to watch.
Well,
BBC,
this is for the WBA lightweight title. That's the only reason why I'm talking about this. And that's the only reason why they're even televising this via satellite from Manchester. The first fight it was a great fight. It resulted in a majority draw. So I tell you what, so it's going to be interesting. And guys, in the main event of the evening, from Hanover, Germany, it's going to be Arthur Abraham versus Martin Murray for Abraham's WBO super middleweight title. Gogi, are you interested in to see that? Are you interested in seeing that, brother? I tell you what, Gogi, you ponder on that for a second while I actually try to get the Don on the line one last time, okay?
What which fight? The Martin Murray and who's fighting?
Martin Murray and Arthur Abraham.
Oh, God. That's for the super
Yes, it's for Arthur Abraham's WBO super middleweight strap. Now I'm going to try one last time, guys,
too.
To get the Don. If you can, just for at least a minute while I'm trying to get the Don on the line, okay?
Okay, let me try to figure this out, okay? Let me tell you, fans, I'm going to give you a little. Arthur Abraham, okay, first time I seen him fight, we fought in Germany, I think it was in 2005, had a fight over there, and he was just coming up. Okay, he was a 54-pounder, you know, a strong, you know, strong kid, you know, doesn't have really great athletic talent, but, you know, a strong, heavy-handed puncher. All of a sudden, you know, he moves up to middleweight, boy, I see him hitting harder like I never seen before. You know, he's a tough, durable, strong kid, that Abraham. Murray, I'll tell you what, I don't know how much Abraham has left, okay? He's been in a lot of wars, and when you a fighter and you're going up in age and you're in a lot of wars, well, guess what? You start becoming what you call a shot fighter. Once you start getting hit more, your reflexes are slow, your legs don't respond like they used to, your timing and rhythm's off, and Murray's still kind of fresh, okay? And Murray has the ability to box. He's got range. If he can control that range and distance, well, you know what I mean? I could see him beating Arthur Abraham for this fight. So, let's see how that fight goes.
Well, once again, guys, that's going to take place on Saturday afternoon. That's going to be on AWE. I don't know how many people even have AWE. Do you have it, Gogi, on your cable satellite provider?
I think I do, yeah. I think I do.
Well,
I'm not going to watch it.
U-verse. I have AWE. I'm going to be tuning in. But, guys, don't forget, this Saturday night, I'm going to be calling the big pay-per-view co-main event and main event. In the co-main event, Takashi Miura is going to defend his WBC 130-pound title against Francisco Vargas. And in the main event of the evening, guys, is going to be Saul Canelo Alvarez challenging, well, Miguel Cotto for the WBC middleweight title. And once again, guys, the WBC middleweight title is only going to be on the line at stake for Canelo Alvarez. Miguel Cotto relinquished his title by not paying the sanctioning fees. We'll see if that proves to be a detriment to him on Saturday night. But, guys, also the ring as well as the lineal middleweight distinction will be on the line for this fight. So, guys, I'm going to be calling it Saturday night. Our coverage starts at 10 p.m. Eastern. And we hope that everyone is able to tune in for that. Gogi, I tell you what, is there anything that we missed, brother? Do you want to talk about Arislandi Lada taking on Dejan Zavic on PBC on ESPN November 25th, right before Thanksgiving?
Absolutely no. We got a great fight coming up, man. Why I want to spoil a great fight coming up with talk about something like that? You know what I mean? We'll talk about that next week and everything. It'd be a good fight because Dijon, whatever his name is, Shavik, he comes right at you and everything. And a person that comes at Alara usually puts on good fights, just like when he fought Arislandi Lara, just like when he fought Alfredo Angulo, his best, most exciting performance of his career, Lara, when he fought Angulo.
Yeah, and, you know, absolutely, brother. And, you know, it should be an entertaining fight. I have a lot of respect for Dejan Zavic, former IBF welterweight title holder. But you're absolutely right. Let's just stick to the big fight this weekend. And guys, keep in mind once again, it's going to be on sale on HBO pay per view for $60 in SD, $70 in HD. Gogi, is the price tag going to hurt this?
Joe, I'm always, you know, going back to what Don told me, you know, if the Mayweather fight, you know, 2 weeks before the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, James, if that's a dud, it's going to hurt the pay-per-view market for a long time. $60, $70, to ask consumers to, you know, to come out of their pocket to pay for this fight. Hey, Joe, you know, you know, Thanksgiving and the holidays are coming up, you know what I mean? And like Don said, a lot of people, you know, they live on, you know, they live on limited budgets. You know, they can't afford these extra luxuries. You know what I mean, Joe? To, you know, to buy pay-per-view.
Well, you know, Gogi, but think about this, brother. And our good friend Buster J actually sent me a text and posed this question. Or not a question, but he said this. He said, look, you can't expect to ask boxing fans to shell out a lot of money for pay-per-view events 3 consecutive months leading into the holidays.
Exactly.
Gogi, well, think about this, though, Gogi. I'm going to pose this scenario to you. Maybe because this fight was announced, signed, sealed, and delivered before Mayweather-Berto. Maybe, and I'm hoping this is the case, but maybe the fight fans have been actually saving their coin for this one coming up on Saturday, and maybe that's why Floyd and Golovkin did so poorly in sales. Do you think that might be a possibility?
Joe, look at everything that's going on tomorrow. Saturday. They got some, you know, they got some pretty damn good football games going on, okay? All right. a lot of fans spent their money on the Holly Holmes Ronda Rousey fight, okay? Okay, that those fans, not the hardcore fans, Joe, it's the other fans that you need, the casual mainstream fans that you need to make pay-per-view. You need them to be customers to make pay-per-view sell strong. Well, hey, man, Holly Holmes and Ronda Rousey fought, you know. A lot of that money went into that fight. They did over a million pay-per-view buys for that fight, Joe. Now you're asking customers to come up with another 60, 70 bucks? You know what I mean? I know it's a different market, Joe, but the thing is, you need the boxing fans and you need the mainstream casual fans to make this thing a success. And I think the mainstream casual fans, they already spent their money on the Rousey fight. Now you're telling them to, you know, put another $60, $70 into this fight? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Think about it.
Wow. Yeah. My goodness.
That ain't my problem, Joe. It's not my problem. It's HBO, Rock Nation, and Golden Boy's problem. Canelo and Cotto, that's not their problem. Okay, they're going to get paid. Okay, you know, they're going to get paid. They just got to put on a good entertaining scrap that's going to be a barn burner that fans are going to get their money's worth, that the people that do buy. But the mainstream fans out there, you know, that, you know, add to the pay-per-view to make it a success. Well, guess what? I think they spent it on the Ronda Rousey fight, because that fight, Joe, don't forget, that transcended from UFC to mainstream. Am I right? They were talking about that fight
Absolutely.
In every major media, mainstream.
Yeah, you know, and you know, to ESPN's credit, you know, and it's the same parent company, Disney HBO, right? To ESPN's credit, we've seen a lot of coverage for the Cotto Canelo fight on ESPN, but that's where it ends.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a whole lot of mainstream coverage. And to be honest with you, Gogi, yes, I expected a lot more buzz during fight week than what we're hearing currently.
Well, guess what? Thank the Mayweather-Pacquiao fiasco and thank Ronda Rousey and Holly Holmes. They took that money that Golden Boy and Rock Nation were expected to make. Dana White took it last week.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I'll be very surprised if this pay-per-view, the sales, even eclipses Mayweather versus Maidana.
How many was
I'll
that?
I'll be very, very surprised. I mean, Mayweather versus Maidana 2, which I think did about 170 or 875,000. I'll be very, very surprised if it even does that. I'm expecting around 650 to 700,000. Do you think I'm shooting too low, Gogi, or do you think that's realistic?
No, you're being smart, okay? You're being smart, but I don't want to be a pessimist, okay? I just hope, you know, you fans go out there, you know, I know it's hard to, you know, dig another $60, $70 out of your pocket to, you know, to buy this fight, but God dog, you know what I mean? You know, it needs that final push and everything, you know, from the great fans out there that are willing to, you know, put their money, hard-earned money on the, and buy this fight, you know, to make it a success. But I'm not being a pessimist, Joe. I'm just looking at all the factors that have involved. You know, hey, they got a lot of great football games coming up on
college football on Saturday. Look at all the great matchups. This is, you know, the season, college football season is winding down. Let's see who makes a playoff. That's free. Ronda Rousey's fight last week did over $1 million. They were, you know, like I said, the mainstream people that bought that fight, guess what, Joe? They spent $60-$70. Now you're asking them to do it again, you know, back to back. I've never seen it before, Joe. I know it's two different sports, but, you know, that's, you know, I can't, you know, it's hard for fans, you know, especially on fixed budgets, like Don said, to afford to do that.
Yeah, and, you know, as much as, well, Cotto's getting paid for this. Yeah, as well as Canelo. This could be, if Canelo loses this fight, as well as the pay-per-view tanking, boy, this could be a big, big loss in so many ways for Golden Boy Promotions. Guys, we'll have to say, these are all just, these are,
and HBO
as well.
HBO too.
Guys, as well as HBO, that's right. And so, guys, we're just speculating right now. We're hoping that this is a great, success for everyone involved. But, guys, in case you can't watch it, you can always call into Warwick Radio this Saturday night. I'm going to be calling both fights. And once again, guys, coverage is going to start at 10 p.m. Eastern. We hope that you join us on that evening. Gogi, I tell you what, that's about it. We apologize, guys, that the Don was, well, stuck in meetings. So we are going to bid everyone adieu this Wednesday evening. Gogi, do you have any parting shots for all of our listeners, sir, this evening?
Hey, Joe, you know, maybe you could, Don had a lot of good things to say. Maybe you could do a special 30-minute show with him tomorrow. You know, I'll call Don to see if he could call in this time, you know, because we're having a hard time getting a hold of him. Maybe he could call in, you know, tomorrow, and I'll let you know later tonight if I can get a hold of him. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
If,
we'll,
if you're,
we would,
if you're available.
Absolutely. Yes, I always enjoy making time for the Don. He's very important to the show. Obviously, that's why we call it Warwick Radio. But, Gogi, I tell you what, thank you so much for all of your insight, brother. We always value your opinion and your strategy before the big fights. And, guys, in case you missed any part of this program, you can catch it on its replay in its entirety in the archive player. We want to thank everyone, or we want to thank ringsidechat.uk for carrying the show every single episode. And guys, don't forget, this show is brought to you by Affordable Dentures, 240 locations nationwide. For more information, please visit the show sponsor at affordabledentures.com. But guys, that's about it. We're going to do a special show. Myself, Rodney Green, tomorrow night. Hopefully we'll have the Don on tomorrow evening with our final prognostications for Saturday night. Have a great evening, everybody, and thank you for listening.